Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 26th of March, recording at 5:35 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. That's obviously much earlier than usual, but I do have a function tonight. Now, first the highlights today. Well, after those two strong gains, or two strong days of gains, or yesterday's strength for markets that were closed for holiday on Easter Monday, we see some profit taking in here. That was not entirely the case in Asia, where some of the markets had pushed further ahead on the upside, including the Hang Seng Index and Australia. But European gains were mostly snuffed out here today, ending in small declines. And Wall Street, which certainly has had two strong days, is easier in here today. As I speak, currently down 137 on the Dow. That's just over 1%. Similar declines for the S&P and the NASDAQ. Whereas in government bonds, they're mostly easier, although I see the U.S. 10-year futures are up slightly, but the 30-year down. Gilts and bunds were down a little bit today. The main stories, though, concern, or the main story, I would suggest, concerns U.S. dollar, which is getting clipped in here again today. It's down currently 656 ticks on the dollar index. That puts it at 71.62. And we see the euro back up to 157.89 as I speak. Sterling has underperformed, but it's still a little above the $2 level in here right now. And the dollar has slipped to 99.2. 27 against the Japanese yen. Now, that has boosted precious metals, which had quite a shakeout last week. And we currently have gold up just over $11 at $9.50. And we also see the silver market. That's quite strong. May silver is up 60 cents as I speak, taking it back up to $18.40. Platinum shows smaller gain, only up $16. The industrial metals are mostly firmer here today, but modest gains. But copper's up 575 at 373.60. That's spot copper, COMEX, and the soft commodities are a bit mixed. Small gains, small losses, for the most part. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, more choppy action in stock markets, and we want to get used to that theme, because we're going to see plenty of choppy market action overall. Now, there is a sensible email here today posted. Well, they're usually sensible. They're almost always sensible emails. But this one, I think, was highly relevant, just talking about scanning through some charts and seeing in the U.S. market, to which this gentleman was referring, seeing shares such as Walmart and General Electric more recently that have shown some really impressive gains that are at odds with the financial disaster, deep recession, fears that we have, let alone global recession fears that we have in some quarters. Now, the analogy that I use is that it's a little bit like looking at the aftermath of a zone where a tornado is swept through town. You know, you see on one side of the street, you'll see some houses have been flattened, but just adjacent to those, others remain comparatively untouched. And I think it's very much there's a lot of variation, differentiation in the patterns overall. Now, what interests me the most are some of the areas that have been hit the hardest. They interest me the most because They remain the focal points of concern. They often represent areas where the greatest bargains are available in here today, and they are also the areas where one will need to see support building, base building activity before we can get any kind of really sustained rally. Now, I see plenty of base building activity. For instance, if you look at the daily charts, take some of the worst hit, well, I was going to say worst hit, the Dow and the S&P have been hit hard. Wall Street, again, has been the focal point of many concerns, but Wall Street is not one of the higher beta markets, so others will have fallen further. But let me stick with Wall Street for a moment. If you look at the Dow chart and the S&P chart, look on a daily basis, you will see at least three powerful upside dynamics since January. I think the first one on January 22nd or January 23rd, and we've also seen a couple this month following a test of those January lows. But lots of choppy action where you get one strong day and then you get a weak day, and a nervous environment overall, churning activity. But as I've often emphasized, that is the way markets bottom out. It's also the way markets top out. You get an uptrend that gets overextended, then you get a lot of churning activity. But downward dynamics begin to get the upper hand, and then it goes into a downtrend. That's the sort of action that we were seeing really back in July and August. We get more of the choppy activity showing support building here today, but I maintain that it's going to take, that we're going to see a long convalescence here for most stock markets, and that is that they will require a fairly lengthy base building process. Now, if I were to look for a recent parallel in stock market history, I'm not talking in terms of the fundamental background, but in terms of the fears, the central bank response, and the technical action, then I would suggest that we're somewhere in 2001, the equivalent of 2001, where stock markets had been hammered down to some really important lows, but they were not in a position, or few were in a position, to sustain major recoveries. Instead, they were going to see a lengthy base building process that lasted throughout all of 2002 and into the first quarter of 2003 before the uptrends clearly took hold and provided that very steady, comparatively easy money-making period that most of us enjoyed. Now, we're not in that type of environment today. That's the obvious point. I feel that most of the fears are exaggerated. That doesn't mean that there is not a lot of bad news out there. Of course there is. But a lot of this is already priced in. The central bank response has been very positive, particularly coming from the U.S., positive in terms of what will help stock markets. In here, you might not agree with the economics behind it, but I'm not going to go down that line. That's been debated enough. I'm concerned with what markets are going to do. And I expect a lot of choppy, ranging support building activity. This is the time to be bargain hunting for those who have have cash and are in a position to do so. I don't think this is a time to be panicking out of investments that have taken a whack. Now, when you look through a lengthy review of stock market indices, you see some that are still hitting new highs. Those are mostly in the Middle East and Africa. You see some of the resources markets, which are very, very steady. They've held up best overall, generally. Some of the other resources markets, the Middle Eastern markets and the African markets, I would argue, are largely resources markets, although not all of them. You get stock markets such as Pakistan, which has remained remarkably firm here. So you see pretty much a mixed bag. Then you see others that still look a bit toppy or are still in downtrends. Some of those are becoming quite interesting. Vietnam, for instance, been absolutely hammered in here. These, I think, the biggest disasters will be in the thinnest markets, which are driven up by momentum plays. Vietnam, some of the East European markets, and I feel over time the African markets will fall into this category, although not yet. They're still benefiting from the strength and interest in commodities. But where we have very thin markets, and funds are, of course, set up to excuse me, exploit opportunities in those markets, and we get momentum moves. In other words, people see the uptrend, so they invest more in the funds that specialize in those areas, and on receipt of that additional capital, those funds plow it into these thin markets, which drives prices upwards, and it creates a self-feeding prophecy that can go on for, oh, a year, two, three, four sometimes. But eventually, something takes place and it all starts to go into reverse. And we've seen a fair amount of that over the last 6 to 9 months, where some of these markets, not all simultaneously, but gradually, have lost upside momentum. And the process of profit erosion has commenced. They've lost upside momentum because the demand no longer from new buyers no longer outstripped the selling pressure from people who wish to take their profits. And then, as these markets start to trend down, the buyers or potential buyers either lose interest and go away, or they stand back and say, "Well, this is catch a falling knife territory. I'm not going to do anything until this market actually bottoms." So that creates an exaggerated big percentage move on the downside. Now, we are seeing that environment in some of those thin market areas, and they're best monitored on charts. They'll need to go down and then form some sort of V bottom or with right hand extension base formation development, and then they will look like recovery candidates once again. But all this takes time. And to go back to one of my earlier themes, often mentioned, that the subprime credit crunch problems, they have really slowed the cycle in terms of economic growth, certainly interrupted most of the uptrends in stock markets, produced some bear markets, and there will be a lengthy convalescence. So it's slowed and lengthened the cycle. And it'll be a while. We'll have this environment for, I think, probably most of this year and quite possibly beyond. And then eventually we will see the base formations and we'll see positive leadership coming from financial shares. And those will probably be financial shares in Asia that will be leading on the upside initially. And then we will see, I suspect, some quite sustainable uptrends. Meanwhile, this is an environment in which one can pick and choose. I posted an article by or about Warren Buffett and the superiority of his system, where he's allowed cash to build within his funds, and that's compared favorably to some of the LBO firms that rely entirely on or extensively on borrowed money and are not doing so well today. But for investors who find this environment stressful, and of course it is, but to keep things in perspective, we need to ask ourselves, is Warren Buffett panicking about what's taking place? Is he staying awake at night, worrying that some other highly leveraged financial instrument may go belly up and cause the Dow to fall a few hundred points more? Or is he relaxed and quite interested, actually, feeling that looking around he can see a number of interesting situations in terms of attractive values and high yields, where a couple of years ago he was saying that he couldn't see any bargains and was just content to build the cash? I suspect that he's one of the most relaxed investors around, and we should try to emulate Warren Buffett, at least in that respect. And crude oil. I hadn't mentioned crude oil. What have we got on that today? It's quite firm. That may be weighing on Wall Street a little bit. It's up $4.50 to 105.70. I think that's pretty much it. Mostly small declines for stock markets here today as that choppy support building process continues. So, time for me to say all the best to all of you, and more tomorrow, when I'll be completing this audio and comment of the day somewhat later on in the day. All the best.